Lecture 60, Gods and Sanctuaries of Roman Asia Minor.
In this lecture, I want to take some time and discuss the gods and sanctuaries of Asia Minor in the Roman period. And there's two reasons for this. I had concluded in the last lecture about the way Roman cities or cities in Asia Minor were rewriting themselves along Roman lines as well as Greek lines. And one of the most important ways of doing this is in the religious architecture. The second reason is to pick up that theme I had mentioned at the very start of the class, and that is one way to understand the continuity and change of the civilizations of Asia Minor is to study the changes in religious landscape. I started with the Hittite emperors. We discussed a great deal how cities gradually began to assume a Hellenic tinge for their cults, starting in some cases in the 6th century BC and very much in the Hellenistic age. So we want to look at that process under the Roman Empire as well. So for those two reasons, I think this is time to devote a great deal of attention to what the cults were like in the Roman Empire. And we have a great deal of information to do this. It comes in the form of architecture and sculpture, which is constantly being added to by excavations. It also comes in the form of coins. The cities of Roman Asia Minor, as one of their marks of sovereignty, were allowed to mint their own bronze coins, which were for local use. These coins carry a profusion of images that are relevant to the city. The obverse might have the imperial family, ahead of a member of the imperial family, but the reverse would carry cult statues, monuments, the names of local magistrates, and there are something on the order of over 550 minting authorities in the greater Roman East, of which about 375 are located in what is now Turkey. And this is one of my specialties, using these local coins. We also have a great deal of written literary evidence as well as public inscriptions. And I have to stress the importance of inscriptions. The Romans were more assiduous than any other group of people in putting up enduring monuments in stone and in bronze, which recorded their achievements. So all of this is information that allows us to talk a great deal about religious life in the Roman age. And that's important because in sketching this picture of what the gods and sanctuaries of Roman Asia Minor are about, I want that image to be kept very firmly in mind in the next lecture when we discuss the progress of early Christianity, because it does raise some questions. And in my opinion, the whole process of change whereby Christianity came to dominate the peninsula is really been misunderstood in some ways, and we'll clarify that in coming lectures. But let's first deal with the gods of Asia Minor in the Roman period. As I mentioned, Anatolian cities adapted their cults to gods that were associated or assimilated to a Hellenic counterpart. Sometimes an ancient god, in effect, became an epithet. So the god Labrenus in Herapolis was identified with Apollo, so Labrenus becomes an epithet of Apollo Labrenus. It's the Apollo, the Labrenus one. This is very common. You find this through Asia Minor with various gods and goddesses. Sometimes the equations are made outright. They simply drop the native name and they use the Greek name. In some instances, the old god lives on, although the old god is now dressed up in Hellenic guise. One of the best documented cases is a god called Maen, M-E-N. He's a rider god. He appears through much of Western and Central Asia Minor, associated with pine cones, and there are a number of shrines to Maen in the Roman period, but he's dressed up as a young Hellenic god, and his rites are increasingly associated with the types of rites we know of with Greek cults. Kybele, who was an ancient fertility goddess worshipped by the Phrygians, she too assumes very much a Greek guise in the Roman period. And this goddess, whose shrine was at Pessinus in western Phrygia, in the part of Phrygia that came under Galatian influence, this sanctuary already had achieved Mediterranean-wide influence in the 3rd century BC because her cult is transferred from Pessinus to Rome during the later stages of the Second Punic War, a sacred rite. She is attended on by priests, actually eunuch priests. One of the most famous poems of Catullus talks about her lover, Attis, who castrates himself with a flint knife and then serves as her priest or priestess thereafter. We believe that the rites were toned down by the time they got to Rome. This is not the sort of thing that the Romans liked. Anything kind of organized, well, any group over three is immediately suspicious to the Roman authorities, but those types of wild rites would always be dignified and toned down.